Hi there. Welcome to Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with some of the folks from Morehead State University's Department of Music, Theater, and Dance. We have Professor Greg Carlisle, senior costume designer Kayla Holbrook, and freshman actress Lauren Wildener. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about the upcoming show of Tartuffe, which is going to be performed at 7:30 in the evening on February 14th, 15th, 16th, and then again on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Those are the two weekends. And then on the Sundays, February 17th and 24th, the performance will be at 2 p.m. That's at the Lucille Caudill Little Theater right here in Breckenridge Hall, right across the hall from the MSBR studios. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the production of Tartuffe. Greg, for our listeners who may not be well-versed in their theater history, tell me a little bit about what the show is about.
The show, it's a classic comedy. Molière was one of the funniest classical authors. His work is as funny as Shakespeare's comedies. And the play has had a long history of controversy. If you come see the show, out in the lobby, our dramaturg, Michaela Holder, will have a board of different times in history that this play was controversial. When it first came out, a little over 350 years ago, there were a couple of versions that it had to go through because the subject matter is about a man who pretends to be a religious man. Now, he's obviously not. It's clear to everyone except the protagonist of the show, and that's what makes the show funny, is we're all laughing at how over-the-top crazy this guy is. And we're laughing even more at how the father of the family believes him. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's so much truth about human nature in the play that it can touch a nerve, and so it was controversial. It had to go through three versions. We're seeing the final third version from 1669 that the king approved and was on Molière's side back in France at this time. But also there were controversies later in colonial Canada. You'll see stories about that, and so we're just trying to do the play. Got people upset. And even in Russia in the 1920s, there was another show kind of based on this show that it's been it carries with it kind of a history of controversy, even though it's clear that the guy is false. I guess it hits a nerve. There could be a tie to like TV evangelists in the 80s that, you know, elderly people would give their whole fortunes over and people mm-hmm. didn't think about those kinds of controversies that still exist. And that's what, you know, I just wanted to do the play because I actually did it, you know, almost 25 years ago. And it was so funny, and I always remember how funny it is. But then reading it to get ready for this, there are quotes in that play that can be pulled out right here for 2019. I mean, Lauren's character at one point literally says, "I'm quite tired of being disbelieved," which is like an exact like hashtag Me Too 2019. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of little statements in there that still ring true 350 years later. And I found it just amazing reading through, getting ready for this new production. I knew I loved the play. I hadn't revisited it a lot in the last 24 years, but it stays current, I think, and it stays kind of edgy.
It speaks to like the basis of human experience, I think, and a lot of people. And I haven't read the show. I've actually never seen it performed live, so I'm really excited about this production. But when I read the show originally, I thought, wait, this is relevant, and it's so hard to find classic literature that is still relevant. But that's the ones that survive, I think, the ones that can be applicable in modern day.
Because we always find people that are stubbornly holding on to a belief that's obviously counter to what their family or around them believes in it. It's hard to talk about a comedy and make it funny. I mean, when I explained to my children what Little Shop was about, the show that we did last year that Kayla was in, and I told the plot to them. Oh my God, I don't want to see that. But really, it's very funny, you know, and fun to be. And the shows, people act so crazy. I mean, last night we were doing the scene at the end of our act one, and it was so funny. We were all on the side just laughing at how crazy it gets because everyone's so passionate and over the top. And it's also really intimate for the audience. We're in the thrust setting, so the characters come right up to you. The saucy maid will end up talking to audience members, so you know, you might get to interact a little bit or at least listen to a saucy maid mm-hmm. talk at you. So it is a lot of fun, but it's also kind of steeped. Because the scene we were watching last night that's so funny, it turns serious very quickly and then back to funny again. So it's really a wonderful piece of theater.
I'm a fan, so I'm excited to see the production. Kayla, this play obviously was originally performed in the late 1600s. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit, when you're designing costumes, you kind of get to be able to decide where you want to put them. And with a play that is so relevant today, where did you decide to place this costume set?
Well, initially, when I started doing my research, I did researches on the shapes of the silhouettes, like what the kind of undergarments and stuff that they would wear underneath their costumes. So, like, we have a lot of, like, bustles and corsets for the women. We have a lot of these, like, muslin long-sleeve shirts for the men. And just, like, basically getting the research from that, because where the play was written and with Greg's, like, guidance on what time period he wanted to do initially, we, like, went from that, and I started doing my initial research, went into the first design meeting, and Greg wanted to, like, put in this political statement of, like, how it relates to the modern day, too. But we had this conversation of how we can make it into, like, the modern day context while still keeping it in the historical context. So I ended up finding fabrics and that kind of relate to the show, like, subtle hints of, like, the personalities of the characters. So, like, I have Oregon in red, and I have mule buttons on his vest because he's very stubborn and hot-headed. And for Lauren, I have on the middle panels of her bodice and skirt, "Nevertheless, she persisted." So that kind of bounces back off of Greg's quote, "I'm quite tired of being disbelieved." Mm-hmm. So, like, she still persisted on going on to, like, prove to Oregon that Tartuffe is this fake phony mm-hmm. in the play.
Now, how many, I don't know exactly how many people are in the cast, so is this a huge undertaking? How many people are you fitting for?
I think there's 13 total.
It's 11 characters, and we mm-hmm. double cast too, so there's 13 actors that she's costuming.
So we have 13 total actors, there's 11 characters in the show, and we kind of had to, like, go around and change some of the characters' genders a little bit because of the
or there's 11 actors for 13 characters.
Yeah.
So there are a couple people playing two characters. So.
Ah, okay.
But so the characters that are double cast, which is Lydia Kebzinski and Eden Jordan, they are playing Doreen the Saucy Maid, and then we have Becky Earhart and Sahara LaForce that are playing Cleante. Mm-hmm. And they are, it's originally a male character for, like, Cleante, but we made it a female for this show because of the casting pool that we had available. But it's been really fun to do all these designs.
Cleante's what the French call the raisonneur, the voice of reason in the play, and a play where we're so kind of focused on the nevertheless she persisted and things like that. I love the idea of having the voice of reason of the play be a woman as well.
Mm-hmm. So often in that time period, the antithesis of that was the woman. The woman was the hysterical one.
Well, when you talk to Lauren, what I got from this new reading was how admirable Elmire, mm-hmm. It's Oregon's second wife, and mm-hmm. how she's kind of the moral barometer of the play. It's pretty awesome.
And that's your character, Lauren?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you had you're just a freshman here, so
yes.
To take on, is this the biggest role that you've ever done?
I would say yes that it is. I'm normally in musicals. I kind of lean more towards dance, and I have never been in a straight play before, and especially to get into one where I have pages of monologues has been a lot too. It's kind of I've been thrown in the water, and I've really, really enjoyed it, and especially learning lines that are in couplets and having to be extremely articulate. It has been difficult. It's been a challenge, but I really, really enjoy becoming Elmire.
Now, I know that you guys had to make some adjustments as far as the way that you move within your costumes mm-hmm. into setting the time period. Tell me a little bit about the physicality changes that you guys have made.
Well, we definitely, from the very start, we had to start in third position, dance's third position, and we had to be extremely upright, and we had to be proper, and there was no sulking around. There are other characters that walk differently. The Saucy Maid, she can kind of be a little bit more relaxed, but Elmire is very proper, and she's always upright, and especially getting into those corsets, that helps us be extremely straight. But being in third position, whenever we warm up, we walk around the space in our very proper walk. I have to learn how to sit down in so much costume and be very proper, and it's really awesome to get that sort of training, because a lot of the musicals that I've been in have been very modern, and this is unlike anything I've ever done.
Now, Kayla, I guess usually when you think about doing a play, and anyone who's been in a production, you don't have the costumes until closer to the end of the production. But obviously when you have that many layers of costume mm-hmm. to put on, you have to start a little early. So when did you start or how did you begin to introduce these students into their costume pieces?
Pretty much right as soon as we came in for the semester this year, we got everybody's costumes pretty much built to like the base layers so that they could come in the next week for fittings. So that way we could like see the process and seeing if we needed to take the costumes in or let some things out, if there's something weird going on. So that way we can know how to fix those mistakes from the very beginning. And then like they've been practicing with rehearsal skirts and like I've been giving them bustles. And this week we've introduced the corsets and their shoes that they're going to be wearing for the show mm-hmm. since the set's like mostly built. So they can kind of like learn how to like do their movements on stage with whatever they're going to be working with mm-hmm. as well with the show.
I don't think that people realize how long it takes to get into a show like this and mm-hmm. how much work. You guys are at it every day mm-hmm. working on this production.
Yeah, I've kind of the conference that we normally go, you know, SETC, mm-hmm. it got moved up a week, which cut a week out of rehearsals, and I had to add rehearsal time. And we've only had like 20 days before tech starts and then four tech rehearsals. So we'll mm-hmm. have had, and I think we canceled one because of snow, so we'll have had 23 rehearsals, but we had to add time. And I've been... They came in really prepared. They had their scripts, and a lot of people had started memorizing. And a lot of the basic things that I was expecting to have to work with as a director, they kind of had. So we ended up being in really great shape. This mm-hmm. At the right, we're heading into right now. This was recording a little bit before it's aired, and we're getting ready to head into our tech rehearsals. And I think it's in great shape.
It's going to be very exciting. Once again, Tartuffe, it's going to be performed February 14th, 15th, 16th, and then again on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, all at 7:30 p.m. And then on February 17th and 24th, those are the Sunday performances at 2 p.m. That's here in Breckenridge Hall in the Lucille Caudill Little Theater here on the campus of Morehead State University. And we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Come to the Morehead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd at the Morehead Conference Center, presented by Downtown Morehead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center. Shop for antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. Open all day Saturday, March 2nd from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Admission is $3 for the weekend or $2 on Saturday. The Morehead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd. At the Morehead Conference Center.
And we're back here on Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers. We're visiting with the crew and an actor here from Tartuffe, Morehead State University's Department of Theater, Music, and Dance. We'll be performing that this coming week, February 14th, 15th, 16th. 21st, 22nd, 23rd at 7:30 p.m. and at 2 p.m. on February 17th and 24th here in Breckenridge Hall. Get your tickets now because they will sell out. And one of the reasons that they will sell out is not because this classic play is so popular, but it also is a visual smorgasbord. We've got a beautiful set design, some amazing costumes. Kayla Holbrook is our senior costume designer, and Kayla, we talked a little bit about how many people you put together and some of the research that you've done, mm-hmm. but tell me a little bit about what people can expect to see as far as the visual aspect of this costume design.
When people like are in the audience and the lights go out and then the stage lights come on, the actors will come out on stage and you'll just see these big, beautiful dresses that like kind of glimmer and shine with the lights on stage. And you'll see a lot of these rich, intricate fabrics. So like there's a lot of velvets and you have some like silky materials and there's a lot of lace, pearls, metalwork, jewels. I think there's like some like diamonds maybe on some people's, especially for Tartuffe. I did a lot of beading work on his collar. So that like represents rosary beads. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's just a lot of small details, even like that, that are just, like, so visually pleasing for the audience. So, like, even if they're not interested in theater, you know, and just only come to see the costumes, you know, they're still going to, like, enjoy the show. But I still think that they're going to find it very, like, pleasing to come watch and find the show that's actually funny, too. And you know, and enjoy the whole experience.
And this is an opportunity that, Greg, you, by allowing students to take the lead on things like these design elements. I mean, obviously, it's part of their education. They came here to get a theater degree, but this is a valuable experience, hands-on experience that you really don't get the opportunity to do very often.
I think it's a strength at Morehead State. All of the theater and dance faculty are very committed to having students involved in these kind of major roles that help them have careers, help them break in and get those jobs that they need for their careers.
I think all the different groups that are in this building focus on hands-on stuff. There's, you know, a few different schools that are within Breckenridge Hall, and if you come down, you will never see the lights completely off.
Right.
Yeah.
There were students here last night in our studios working on some stuff pretty late, and then you guys, I know, were in rehearsal last night. I always hear the banging and the power tools as they're building the sets, and there's just always a lot of activity here, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm very thankful too that our program does offer the students to get the opportunities to be a lead role as a freshman, like how Lauren is for this show, and like giving us opportunities to design, because I know a lot of universities don't even let people have the opportunity until grad school. So that's like one of the unique things about our program is how involved they do let us students get into it. And it's a great experience going into the real world, too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, we get jobs that way because we are experienced.
Absolutely. So. Now, Lauren, one of the things, I guess, that since you're newish to the university, you've been here a little bit, but you had to really adjust the way you spoke. And the way that you're speaking for this character, obviously you're not from 16th century France. Mm-hmm. So tell me about adjusting your articulation and your speech there.
It's very important to get every consonant and every vowel, because it was written so richly and the text is so important that there are not, you can't just skip a line. Everything is important. It fits into a couplet, and you have to make sure that the audience hears every single word that you're saying. And with Elmire, we were talking about it earlier, how relevant it is, and it's kind of a me too. There's a scene where Tartuffe tries to seduce Elmire, and we had to find a balance between her having control of the situation and like she does not want this to happen, but it's very, we just had to find a balance of Elmire being in control and she had to be firm. And it's kind of challenging because of, you know, things that are happening today. But I had to specifically go over my speeches. And whenever I was learning them myself, I would record myself in my car. And whenever I was traveling home, I live about 5 hours away. I would listen to myself talking in the car and hear where I was putting words with you and with you. And there were just, it was so, I had to figure out each and every word is so important that I need to get out so the audience hears every single one of those words. And it was challenging. And it still kind of is in the rehearsal process. We're still making sure that we get through those bumps. But it has been a challenge, but a very fun one and a very helpful one as well. I will definitely come out of this show being much more articulate, and especially I'm taking Greg's class this semester, so a lot at once is helping me with my speech a ton.
Awesome. Greg, you know, you and I have discussed before, this show is hilarious, and it's super fun to do, but I know that it can also be challenging. Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've faced in this process getting this show up and ready to go as far as challenges go.
Well, I remember when I did it a long time ago, it was there, the Voice of Reason we were talking about, Cleon, has these long speeches in Act One, and I thought we were going to have a problem with keeping that interesting across, you know, that long speech where she's explaining the difference between true religious people and what Tartuffe is. But our actresses just nailed that from the beginning. And it's been that, it's like, oh, okay, that's a scene that we don't have to work. What I didn't realize was how, until Lauren and Robbie, who's playing Tartuffe, got into it, there are two very long scenes that are kind of ugly. Tartuffe is trying to manipulate Elmire, you know, and it's almost like, you know, we're kind of in there in the first weeks going, you know, sexual assault's not funny. Mm-hmm. So, but what we figured out is that Elmire is so powerful that we can laugh at it because she's always in control, except mm-hmm. for one little moment where in the drama of the play that we have to work out of. But for the most part, she's in control. And Tartuffe is so ridiculous. We're supposed to be laughing at how audacious, I guess in our day, people get away with that audaciousness. And it's like, so it was straight, you know, we and kind of the new way of how we're a little bit more aware of this, I hope, right now. It was a challenge at first thinking, you know, why is this funny? But, you know, we figured it out. It's just Tartuffe's insane, obviously insane, and we can laugh at that, and we can appreciate that Elmire's mm-hmm. in charge. And I, you know, on the way home from seeing the show, laughing on the way home, we might stop and think, you know, I kind of wish it was like that today where the Elmires took charge like they do in this play. And, you know, I think it'll be funny as you're watching it, but maybe on the way home you'll think, you know, it's sad that 350 years, some of what I see happening in these scenes 350 years ago, we're still having to deal with now, may mm-hmm. be the lesson. So that was an unexpected, we realized that in rehearsal, mm-hmm. first mm-hmm. couple of weeks, and Absolutely. Had to kind of work through that and get it funny again and find out, you know, why it was funny. Mm-hmm. And just basic, like with the speech, we sharpening that, you know, speech to sound classical, but it's been mm-hmm. normal, like when we do Shakespeare here or mm-hmm. other kind of plays like that. It hasn't been very difficult. I mean, I haven't had a lot of challenges. I expected there to be a challenge because of the shorter time span, but everyone's really risen to the occasion, and we have a show that's in great shape.
That's incredible. Now, we've just got a couple more minutes left. I wanted to talk a little bit about the set design. You said it's a thrust stage, so people are going to be able to really kind of interact with
you. Yeah, you'll get to look at those beautiful costumes right up close. A skirt may swish by you if you're in the front row. You might get hit with a swishy skirt.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, who did the design for this?
Our faculty member, Mark Hayes, mm-hmm. did the scenic design, and the colors are beautiful. We're at your listeners, as you're hearing this, it will be painted. We're getting ready to paint. And it's just beautiful. And that's what they're working on the next several days, getting ready for our technical rehearsal, which was Sunday, we'll say, for the broadcast here. We have a couple of beautiful pieces of furniture in the thrust part, a lot of room for people to move and run around, which is part of the physical comedy of people always running around in mm-hmm. here. And then there's an upper level where all the characters' rooms are, and then we have one of those Tartuffe Elmire scenes up there on that staircase. But columns, and we'll have a great lighting effect from our student lighting designer, Eli Weiss. It's going to frame, like, there's a grand speech at the end that a sunset will be happening as it. So it'll be a beautiful show all the way around. All the technical elements are quite beautiful.
We are all looking forward to seeing that. If you want to get your tickets, you can call the box office. Number, do you guys have a number?
783-2170.
2170. So call, get your tickets. They will sell out quickly. There was a show recently that I completely missed because there were no more tickets. So go see Tartuffe here in Breckenridge Hall in the Lucille Caudill Little Theater. February 14th, 15th, 16th at 7:30. February 17th at 2 p.m. Then again, the following weekend, February 21st, 22nd, 23rd at 7:30. And February 24th at 2 p.m. And that's all the time we have today here on Open Mic. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on Friday.